Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon is Luke 10, verse 21 to 37. I intentionally added a few verses to the beginning of this text to make it clearer and to be able to understand the connection. This parable is very popular in front of us. We're going to tackle this morning. So I would like you, all of you, please to open your Bibles or go to the bulletin where the text is there. So we'll tackle it verse by verse. So many people or many imagine that Jesus wrote this parable to show us how to be good Christians. Another even went further saying or claiming that Jesus wrote this parable, the Good Samaritan, to give us an example how to be good Christians and if we can be able to live up to the Good Samaritan, that means we are on the right track to heaven. Many people misunderstand this parable. And it's interesting, we were studying the parables this morning in our Bible study, and I said, the parables is a direct occasion for Jesus to reveal the truth to his disciples while he's hiding the truth from the unbelievers who were around him. As we listen this morning to Luke chapter 10, I would like you to think of one question, which is the theme of this sermon this morning. Have I loved my neighbor as myself? Have I loved my neighbor as myself? The text starts in verse 23, actually, when Jesus turned to his disciples. Here, he's not talking about just the 12. He's talking about the 70 who were following him. He said he turned to them and spoke to them privately. That means they were many other people around Jesus at that time when he told this parable, including the expert in the law or the lawyer himself. So Jesus turned to his disciples and he was addressing them. Something that the lawyer questioned, how can I inherit eternal life, came because he was listening to Jesus' prayers and beatitude addressed to his disciples in, starting from verse 21, as I said, 22, 23. So he was listening to Jesus saying, you know, I give you all this truth and nobody knows the Father except me and nobody knows me except the Father. And many kings wish they could have heard and seen what are you seeing. So the lawyer here was just saying, huh, so probably I should stand up and ask a question here to Jesus. So he stood up and said, how can I inherit eternal life? So probably he asked this question based on what he heard Jesus praying and saying to the 70 here. The lawyer asked, how can I inherit the eternal life? The lawyer was not seeking truth or information. His goal was to trap Jesus, and if he can't find an accusation against Jesus, then they will find a way to persecute him or prosecute him. He wanted Jesus to fail. Jesus refused to answer this question. As I said this morning, always you ask Jesus a question, he doesn't answer it. He asks you, he answered you with another question. So Jesus refused to answer this direct question because he knew that the lawyer wanted to trap him. The lawyer's question is flawed. What can I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do to inherit anything? Inheritance is a gift from one family's member to another. There is nothing I can do to inherit anything. So that's why the question by nature is flawed. As I said, it's a gift from one person or one member of the family to another. So here we see Jesus is asking the lawyer now. He said, "You tell me. You are the expert in the law. You know better. You tell me how to inherit eternal life." So the lawyer is really good at the law. He started quoting the Old Testament. We see that the lawyer responded with the summary of the law that Jesus already used in previous examples. So he used exactly Jesus' summary to the law that Jesus used in previous incidents, just to see if what Jesus would think about this summary. He said, the summary, of course, contains two parts. We see love God and love your neighbor. The two parts come from the Old Testament. Love God, your neighbor comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And love God comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. So, he said, love God and love your neighbor. That's what the law says. That's how you can inherit eternal life. So Jesus said, good. Live up to your standards and you will inherit eternal life. Go and do that and you will inherit eternal life. To the Jews, only Jews are considered neighbors. Gentiles are not considered neighbors. Was an assumed knowledge that Samaritans are hated by God. They're not neighbors, so only Jews are neighbors. His assumption that only Jews are neighbors, and he quoted scripture to support his idea. He said, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm the Lord." This concluded to the lawyer that my neighbor is the sons of my own people. Or he could justify himself by quoting Psalm 139, verse 21 and 22, which reads, "Lord, don't I hate those who hate you and detest those who rebel against you? I hate them with extreme hatred. I consider them my enemies." The scripture supports the lawyer. My neighbor is those people who love God, and those who hate God, I hate them. So the lawyer thinks to himself, I must love God and love my neighbor to inherit eternal life. That's fine. I know how to love God. To love God is to follow the law. But now I have to know who is my neighbor. So he said, let me ask Jesus and let him explain to me who my neighbor is. Luke is telling us exactly what's going on in the mind of the lawyer by saying, he desiring to justify himself, asked, who is my neighbor? To be justified is to be saved, and to be saved means to have eternal life. So the lawyer here is trying to justify himself by himself or trying to inherit eternal life on his own. So we see Jesus here tells him the parable, or what we call it, the Good Samaritan. He said, the wounded man is in this parable. Please follow with me. Look at your text. It's going to get interesting. So the wounded man here in this text is assumed to be a Jew. On the side of the road, the situation, like if you go back 20,000 years ago, we imagined like the way the road from Jerusalem going to Jericho. Jerusalem is 3,000 feet over the sea level. Jericho is 1,000 feet below. So the distance between them is 17 miles. That means the road is going down. It's so steep, ends in a canyon. There are a lot of places many thieves and robbers and killers can hide. A very bumpy, dangerous road, full of killers, I said, and bloodshed. So when Jesus was telling this parable or a story to the people around him, they knew what he's talking about. You can imagine like a street or somewhere in a big city. He said the priest was excuse me, the priest was on his way to Jericho. The priest was on his way down the mountain from Jerusalem to Jericho. Many priests at that time used to live in Jericho, and they commute to Jerusalem every 2 weeks. They have like a 2 week assignment. So they finish their assignment in Jerusalem. They go back to Jericho. The priest that time used to be the elite, the high class, very wealthy, very respectful. So we're assuming this priest was riding, and we're assuming that the priest was riding, and he could have absolutely offered a ride or transportation to this poor person. The situation is, we see the injured, wounded person is on the side of the road, half dead, naked. According to the law, the priest is responsible to help anyone who is Jew. If the priest could tell that this person is Jew, he's responsible, according to the law, to help this injured person. But he couldn't tell because he was naked. That time it was easy to tell the race of any person based on the cloth, the accent, and the language, but this person is naked, so he couldn't tell if he's Jew or not. If he's not Jew, let's say this person is Syrian, Phoenician, Egyptian, a Greek, he's not responsible to help this person according to the law. So if this person is dead, now, if he approached this person and the wounded person is dead, he's ceremonially defiled. He has to go back to Jerusalem, do all this purification process, which takes a week. It's too much to do. He didn't know like if he's Jew or not. I just better to pass this person. So as soon as the lawyer heard that. The word priest, the lawyer thought, oh, the priest will help, right? It's a priest. He knows God's word. He works in the temple. But the priest passed. God's word tells the priest in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, love the strangers. And the priest was preaching this every single time. Love your strangers. But the priest knew that and told that, but he passed the poor, wounded person. The priest passed him on the other side. The priest had zero love for God, zero love for his neighbor, zero love for strangers, zero love for his enemy. He has no love. If he had love, he would do what God asked him to do. Now we see in verse 32, a Levite. The lawyer heard the Levite. Now I'm sure the Levite would help. Levite comes from the tribe Levi, the son of Jacob, but they were not a priestly family, but they used to assist in the temple. So most Levite used to be assistants of the priests themselves. Here, Levite, again, instead of helping, he just passed the wounded person. We're assuming that this Levite was the assistant of the priest himself. So he said, well, my priest just passed me, or passed this person, he never helped. I guess it's an easy for my conscience just to pass him over. Should I upstage my priest? God forbids, I'm just going to keep going. I don't want to upstage my priest, I'm just going to keep going where I'm going. So we have here two people that preaching God's word and supposedly they know God's word. These people, both of them don't love man, don't love God, don't love strangers, don't love enemy. So they don't have eternal life. You don't love God, you don't love your neighbor, you don't have eternal life. We see that both of them don't have eternal life. The lawyer here is shocked. Jesus in just a few minutes indicted the whole law system that the Jews used to have. Your system is corrupt. You don't love God. You don't love your enemy. You don't love anyone. And you still need eternal life. That's what Jesus is telling him. Now the third person is really interesting. Now the Samaritan is passing. So if Jesus is telling this parable today, he would have used a Palestinian instead of Samaritan. The Jews absolutely hated Samaritans. They have nothing. They wanted nothing to do. They wanted nothing to do with them. They don't want to even say their name. It's bad. So to understand better idea, the background of this, the Samaritans were half Jews, half Gentiles. This race came about after the Assyrian invaded the northern kingdom of Israel, 721 BC. Some Jews stayed behind, and those Jews intermarried to Assyrians. And that's how the Samaritan race came. According to the Jews who came back from exile, those people betrayed the religion, perverted God's commandments of not marrying to other people. And they don't want anything to do with them. The rift got even bigger time of Jesus. Some even Jews rather walk or going miles and miles around Samaria. They don't want to even walk on Samaritan soil. That's how bad it was. And the animosity between them is as deep as it could be between the Arabs and Israeli today. That's how bad it is. They hated each other very bad. So Jesus said, your priest didn't help. Your Levite didn't help. How about a Samaritan? And Jesus, you know, like the lawyer, I could see lawyer's eyes now like, what are you talking about, Jesus? He said, now a Samaritan was passing by. A Samaritan helped. He offered all his sources. He offered, he treated his wounds with oil and wine. He with energy. He took him. He put him on his beast. He took or animal. He took him to an inn. He paid 2 denarii. To understand it better, it's very difficult for a Samaritan, an enemy, to go into a Jewish town. The inn was in a Jewish town. Could you imagine a Samaritan is going into a Jewish town with a Jew injured or wounded on his animal? He could have been killed by Jews there. You see how much he sacrificed to help his enemy who is a Jew. He showed a great love, amazing love. He said he even gave him 2 denarii. 2 denarii is like he could stay in that inn for 2 months. He paid 2 months for his stay. He said, if I go back, I will pay you more. That's amazing love. You help your enemy like that? That's really lavish love. So Jesus said here, who loves like that? The lawyer hated Samaritans so much, he didn't want to even say the word Samaritan. It's just like an insult. He said the one who had mercy on him. Quite interesting. Jesus didn't answer who is my neighbor, but he was reflecting on a bigger and more larger question, which is, to whom must I become a neighbor? Lawyer asked, how can I inherit eternal life? Jesus said, who is your neighbor? You tell the parable. He said, to inherit eternal life is how to become a neighbor to other people. To whom must I become a neighbor? To whom must I become a neighbor today? The answer is to anyone in need, regardless of their race, language, ethnicity, religion, anything. The Samaritan became a neighbor to the wounded man. The Samaritan is a good neighbor, not the Jew who is a wounded, the wounded man is the neighbor. So the Samaritan is the good neighbor who became a neighbor to the wounded man. To whom may I become a neighbor this morning? It's how easily we cross people off our list. Not a member of my church, not a member of my race. He's not my friend. He has too many tattoos and piercings. Too old, too young. He owes me money. Too many things we can't find excuses. To whom may I become neighbor? That's what Jesus is asking. To whom must I become a neighbor this morning? There's another, the tension here in this parable, we don't pay attention too much to it most of the time. There's a tension, racial tension in this text between two races. There's racial tension, political tension, religious tension in this text. And we don't talk too much about it, but there's another reason sometimes we avoid people. Like these Samaritans. Sometimes we too often relate a person to a group. We judge one person based on the whole group. Normally we see, for example, terrible actions of a certain group, and when we meet a person of belongs to the same background, we automatically don't feel comfortable to talk to this person or be nice to this person. We judge the whole race, we judge the whole people based on actions of few people. And that's what the Samaritans, the Jews did. They said, all Samaritans are evil, all Samaritans are bad. There's no one good person, there's no good Samaritan person. He said, the good Samaritan is a dead Samaritan. So they didn't look at this Samaritan as a potential friend or a good person. They looked at him as a bad, evil Samaritan. And that's why what we do most of the time. We just look at people and judge them based on actions of a few people. We don't become neighbors to them. We don't love strangers, we don't love our enemies, we don't love anything, yet we want eternal life. So that's what Jesus is saying here. What's quite interesting is not just we don't like them, we become careless about them. If anything happened, bad happened against them, or problems strike them, we're so happy. We're so happy to see that. I don't care about these people. I could say whatever. You know, they're bad people. They don't love God. That's what the Samaritan did. They don't love God. Why should I? That's what the Jews said. Samaritans don't love God. Why should I love them? We do the same. I could say whatever about these people. I don't want to name a group. I want you to think about a group that you hate so much, you don't love. And I want you to repent, to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought, you know, I'm loving people. I'm loving my neighbors, but I can't. I'm just so bad. I deserve eternal damnation. I'm as bad as this lawyer here in this text. God's law this morning strips us and shows us our sins and indignity of our shameful selfishness. We are very selfish. According to God's law, we deserve hell as this lawyer. Do you remember the wounded person in this parable? I said he's Jew, right? And the person who helped is a good Samaritan. I would like you to think of when this wounded Jew recovered. How would he look at the Samaritan, the enemy, the bad person? He would have a change of heart, right? He would say, this, my enemy carried me, helped me, and took care of me. You are not my enemy anymore. You are my neighbor, the Samaritan, became a neighbor to this person. So when Jesus told the lawyer, go and do like this, he's not telling him to go and be like the Samaritan. He's telling him to go and be like the wounded Jew. Have change of heart. He's telling us, have change of heart like this wounded Jew. Become a neighbor to those who don't have a neighbor. Change your heart. That's what Jesus is saying. The lawyer could do nothing. We can do nothing. We are not half dead as the wounded Jew. We are totally dead in sins. We can do nothing to earn eternal life. We are just in a ditch like this wounded Jew. We need a good Samaritan to help us out, and the good Samaritan is Jesus himself, who became flesh and had pity on every one of us. He befriended us, and he said, every one of you is my neighbor. Every one of you is my friend. He didn't just pay 2 denarii for you. He paid the full price by his blood on the cross to redeem you. Jesus is our good Samaritan. Jesus is our good neighbor. Even when we can't be neighbor to other people, he is our good neighbor. Because of his blood, we have an intimate relationship with God himself. We have the inheritance that Galatians chapter 4 verse 7 is talking about. Say, so you are no longer a slave but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. That means we have inheritance, everlasting inheritance through Jesus' blood. That means we are his brothers and sisters. He loved us so much by doing that. We are reconciled. Our relationship with God is now reconciled because of the Good Samaritan. Jesus gives us the good example how to show love and obedience to other people. We are, this morning, we are to love God. And we are to love God and to love our neighbor, to show them mercy and kindness. We are to obey God's will. Our God's will is to praise him, only him, and to love our neighbor. We don't love our neighbor because we have to. We don't love our neighbor because I'm collecting good works for my eternity. I don't love my neighbor to show off that I have more good works than others. I love my neighbor because that's what Christians should do. That's what Christians should do. We should love our neighbor. We love our neighbor because God has done too many things for us. We love our neighbor because Jesus, our good Samaritan, died on the cross for us. That's why we love our neighbor. So every time I help my neighbor, I'm glorifying Jesus through this action. Brothers and sisters, this morning, don't ask the question, how do I inherit eternal life? Because inheritance, eternal life inheritance, is yours through his blood. So may you cling to this inheritance that came to you through your baptism, and may you go this morning justified and assured that the eternal inheritance is yours through his word, through the good Samaritan who came and became a friend of us. So we can become neighbors for everyone who doesn't have neighbors. Amen.